God's Purpose for His Sanitariums. August 26, 1901. To our sanitariums has been given the work of reaching the higher classes. This work is to be done, not by consorting with them and providing entertainments for them, but by revealing the power of the truth to transform the character. Every human being who is sanctified through a belief of the truth becomes God's light-bearer to the world, His helping hand for the recovering of souls from transgression. He is God's medical missionary. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5, verse 4. It is to be deplored that the people of God are content with such a low standard of personal religion. How can we account for this? We have been bought with a price. And what a price! Individually, we have a work of no ordinary character to do. We are to reveal the grace of Christ. God expects us to exert the motive power which the gospel brings to bear upon the human heart. We are not to be common in thought, in speech, or in practice. The earnestness of our efforts is to be proportionate to the value of the object set before us. What means did God employ for the salvation of sinners? Look at the cross of Calvary. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. This wonderful plan was set in operation to achieve a result of no insignificant value, even the work of redemption. All this God did that man might lay hold of the hope set before him in the gospel and feel the force of the redeeming power derived from the incarnation of the Son of God. Taking humanity, Christ died in the place of the transgressor, that the transgressor, though fallen, might by the Savior's resurrection, ascension, and mediation, receive the Holy Spirit. Christ was humiliated that man, estranged from God, might be cleansed and purified and sanctified, made meet to receive the inheritance of the saints in light. Is Christianity producing fruit unto righteousness, or is it a strange vine? When God planted His vine, He designed it to produce fruit. Does Christian saintliness distinguish us from worldlings? Truth is at stake. It must be talked. It must be lived. Christians must live the words of Christ. Thus they will gain spiritual strength. If by receiving the gospel we are not placed upon higher ground than we occupied before receiving it, we are not honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, for we do not represent Him aright. As we handle the things of this world, we are not to become worldly. Christ says to His followers, "Ye are the light of the world." Matthew 5, verse 14. The principles of heaven are to be followed in all we do. He who supremely desires the blessings of salvation will reveal a soul hunger for righteousness. He will not be charmed by the pleasures of this life. He looks for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Many of God's servants have died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Hebrews 11, verse 13 to 16. We need personal religion. This will enlighten the understanding, arouse the conscience, and enable us to be God's helping hand to guide others into light. We either gather with Christ or scatter abroad from Christ. If our energies are paralyzed, if our arms are bound by spiritual inactivity, our work is misleading. We are not only to arouse the souls dead in trespasses and sins, we are to educate them in the knowledge of God. Giving the trumpet a certain sound, we are to guide them into the light. Thus, many good impressions can be made on those who, as guests and patients, come to the sanitarium. The ministry of the Word is the Lord's great instrumentality for the conviction of the mind and the saving of the soul. It is God's appointed agency for the perfecting of the saints. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13.
In order for Christ's work to be carried out as it should be, true religion must be revealed in spirit, word, and action. When our institutions, after a good work has been done, lose the zeal and fervor and interest once aroused, the result is serious. The power of the truth is not felt where it is so much needed. The people rest satisfied with good emotions. After a good work has been done, the ones who have been awakened to a sense of sin should be taught how to take hold of the arm of the Lord. But if the good impressions made are not followed up with true, earnest efforts, no permanent good is accomplished. The result might be very different did not a desire for amusement divert the mind from the contemplation of serious things. Give the patients and guests and students rich morsels of food from the Word of God. But amusement is not to be interwoven with instruction in the Scriptures. When this is done, the hearers, amused by some cheap nonsense, lose the burden of conviction. The opportunity passes away, and no one is drawn by the cords of love to the Savior. Oh, how important it is that those who have had opportunity to learn the message of truth live up to the light they have received. But there has not been an imparting of the sacred principles of truth. Greater earnestness must be shown. More persevering efforts must be made to win souls to Christ. The high and holy truths of God's Word are to be kept before the mind. We are to do all in our power to bring souls to the Savior. Come directly home to the needs of the soul. Awaken the mind. Inquire, what is the supreme desire of the soul that is troubled? Does he desire salvation, or will he yield to the deceptive power of Satan who is trying to ensnare him? Will the love of gain grow in his mind into an intensity of desire to secure earthly treasure? Or does he estimate the power of the truth, the grace of God as it really is, gold tried in the fire? Is he afraid of displeasing God? Or does he allow his worldly friends to divert his mind from heaven? Will he choose good or evil to guide his thoughts and feelings and mold his character? Christ watches the conflict, and he says, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Luke 22, verse 32, John 16, verse 33. Victory over the world is dependent on the gospel of Christ. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2, verse 15. Faith and love and hope and trust come through partaking of the divine nature. We must live under the light of Christ's glory. We must show continual growth. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren
nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The language of those who have surrendered all to God is, "The love of Christ constraineth us." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. It has complete power because of the perfection of Christ's principles. We are filled with a desire for true piety. We trade upon the sacred talents of trust that we may impart to others, who, convinced and converted, will in turn so use their talents that they also may impart. No longer are our talents to be concealed in a napkin and hidden in the earth. No longer are they to be used in the service of the enemy. We employ them in the service of God. We are to be doers, not hearers only. Work for the Master who loves you with an everlasting love. Teach the church in your own home, praying and working for the conversion of the entire family. Work by prayer and counsel, by warnings and invitations. Do not give up till you have done all in your power to win every member of the family to the service of God. If these souls are obdurate, having educated themselves to resist the Spirit of God, preferring to follow their unsanctified inclinations and desires, great is their loss. For they know the truth, but do it not. There is before them not only a broken law, but a neglected gospel, a rejected Savior.